Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. We're going to do something a little different here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. As the 2012 presidential election fast approaches, for the next few weeks, we're going to delve deep into the issues that are shaping the elections, as well as focus on voter registration and voter turnout efforts. This morning, a good friend of mine, Henry Hollingshead, dropped by the studio for some robust discourse and debate of the issues surrounding the presidential and down ballot elections. Henry is a conservative, but he's fair-minded and has a unique ability to articulate various sides of politics and social issues. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Henry, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I am excited that you are here, and I should let our audience know that you and I, we had a show together. It's My Turn, and it aired on 89.3 FM, The Storm, and we used to go at it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and we will again.
Very robust debates, and I'm certainly glad that you're here. We're fast approaching the 2012 presidential election, and there are so many things that are happening, and I wanted to get your perspective as well as get acclimated again to the debates that we used to have.
Okay. No problem.
First off, Mitt Romney, another gaffe. In fact, it's a string of gaffes that certainly I believe is going to derail his presidential aspirations.
First, I want to say this up front. Mitt Romney is not the best campaigner I've ever seen.
No, okay, absolutely
let's all be grown up here.
Sure.
But the thing about Mitt Romney, and with all of these gaffes, it reminds me a lot of Joe Biden. But the other point is...
Wait, I'm going to stop you. You cannot compare Mitt Romney to Joe Biden. There's
really?
Absolutely no way.
Really?
Absolutely not.
In their speaking style?
Well, first of all, Joe Biden's assessment of where our economy is, and of course, where the middle class and where those who are earning less than $20,000, his gaffes come from an honest place. And I think there's no comparison. You're mixing apples and oranges, in my judgment.
Well, again, I disagree. But the thing about this campaign, from the Republican point of view, is you are not voting really for Mitt Romney. You are voting against the policies of President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And the gaffes don't mean as much under that scenario, because you can always look at things that the Obama administration has done that's just totally off the wall. Sometimes I just think it's practically stupid dueling banjos with these guys. I mean, well, one guy gets up and he says, I don't care about this, I don't care about that. Then you get the ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, to get up and say that all of the attacks were spontaneous.
Let's just stick with the video clip that came out that was discovered and now has surfaced and it was made a thorn in his side.
Okay, first off, it was made when he was running for president.
Sure.
It has been out for months.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I agree.
And so... the one thing that the Republican Party has been able to do, and they have done it very well, is that they have been able to say that the press is so against them, the mainstream press. This is the argument that the Republicans have been able to make, that the mainstream press is so against him, when they show the tape, they're going to come out and be able to say, well, you cut too much out of it. It's not exactly what he meant.
Well, let's listen to just a snippet of what...
See, that's the problem. That's the problem. If you listen to a snippet of it...
In the context of this discussion here, I do want to play it for the audience,
in case folks have not had an opportunity to hear. Then, of course, you are going to play We Didn't Build That. I mean, that's going to come next, right? I mean...
There are 47% of people who vote for the president. Who believe that they're victims, who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them. off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. He'll get there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never think they sell. They should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look and voting one way or the other, depending upon, in some cases, emotion. Whether they like the guy or not.
Okay. Now, you don't find anything wrong with that statement?
I find that as bad as President Obama saying you didn't build that.
Well, you know, listen.
You asked me a question, Ron.
But I don't want to obfuscate his statement. I don't want you obfuscating.
Obfuscate?
Okay, listen.
Ron, were you vaccinated with a thesaurus or something? I mean, come on.
Let's just deal with 3 degrees.
Right now,
let's just deal with Mitt Romney's statement because I find it egregious. Now, here he is writing off a whole swath of the population and suggesting that these people don't take responsibility for their lives is absolutely disheartening, but it's ridiculous.
Again, that is being taken totally out of context.
There was no context. He was asked a very specific question
about the election. That's the thing, Ron. When he was running for the nomination, they asked him this question, and what it was trying to do was he was trying to show how the Republican Party has to work on the 53%, not the 47%. We have to figure that you're going to win by 53%.
Okay, I understand that, but suggesting that these folks, these 47% who may or may not be Obama supporters, are not taking responsibility for their lives is not only elitist, it's also a plutocratic. Don't tell me you don't know what a plutocrat is, Henry. Come on, Henry.
Come on, dude.
The point is, it's insulting to a whole swath of people in this country to suggest that they don't take responsibility. We're talking about seniors who paid into the system, who is receiving government aid. We're talking about veterans who fought for this country, who are receiving aid from the government. And by the way, Henry, we're talking about a presidential candidate who used 4 deferments to stay out of the Vietnam War, who went over to France, and his only service was to knock on doors and pass out tracts so he can avoid going to serve his country. Now that he's a grown man and he has 4 or 5 boys, none of his children are serving when we need more men and women in our military right now. So he is a hypocrite in my judgment.
Well, obviously that's what you think.
Sure, but that's the reality.
Again, it was taken completely out of context. He was not talking about people that had paid into the system, what he was talking about, and if you played the whole thing, he was talking about this idea that we just extend unemployment, that we extend food stamps, that we extend all this stuff, and that everyone is entitled to get this stuff. They're not entitled in the sense that if they haven't put anything into the situation, they shouldn't get that much out of the situation.
But I don't care.
Now, secondly, we're spending all of this money on these jobs. You're talking about jobs and spending money and trying to do things right. According to the New York Times, which, let's face it, is a little left of Lenin in some of their views, they have come out and they have said that 58% of the jobs that have been formed by the government under all of the spending of money, 58% have been low-paying jobs. It's cost an average of $30,000 a job. We're paying $30,000 in benefits to put somebody in an $8 an hour job. We would be better off, Ron, to have sent everybody a check for $20,000. This is the silliest thing on earth. What you're not looking at, you're picking on this guy for one statement, and you're not looking at the situation.
But it's a bevy of statements that he's made, Henry.
That we have in this country. What are you going to do about the debt? What are you going to do about the deficit? What are you going to do about the fact that oil has gone up to double. A gallon of gas is double from when he came in.
Okay, all right.
Unemployment. No. You went on pontificated. Now it's my turn. Oil is out of control. The debt is out of control. Inflation is going to go crazy with this Bernanke idea of spending billions of dollars to buy back bad debt. This is a bad idea. We're not looking at the situation as what it is. We're picking one couple words, and we're saying, oh, well, what a nasty guy it is.
First of all, we're not looking at the whole situation. First of all, Henry, it's not a couple of words. This has been an ongoing ideological debate in this country for a while, and he is reflective and representative of that ideology. No one that I know of who is receiving any type of aid have a sense of entitlement. What folks who perhaps are veterans and those folks who are elderly and those folks who are riding their bikes to work and putting in 60 and 70 hours, what they are more surprised at is the kinds of services that are being offered. Nobody has this sense of entitlement. When someone is working their heart out and working their butts off, and then we find out that people like Mitt Romney, these plutocrats who take advantage, full advantage of a tax system that allows them to skirt the system and punish and penalize individuals who is working their hearts out. We're talking about coal miners. He, several weeks ago, standing on a stage in front of a bunch of coal miners where his policies would undermine the very work that he's doing. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
No. He wants to bring in energy. He wants to bring in energy. He wants to make the cost of energy lower. He wants to get off this wind, this solar. He wants to turn it over into an energy-dependent company.
But the point,
and the point that he was trying to make is we have got to use the services that we have. You know, you speak about the guy who's working 17, 18 hours a day. I applaud the person.
But your Republican friends aren't doing any applause.
When he goes home at night and he has his entire everything that he has invested in his house and the value of his house has dropped through the floor, his dollar is now not buying nearly what it bought years ago. His whole existence, everything that he has worked his whole life for, it's now worth nothing. 40%
of everybody's... And are you laying this at the feet of President Obama?
I am laying this at the feet of the Democratic Party. You betcha.
So George W. Bush had nothing to do with why this economy is the way it is.
Are you suggesting the housing problem? All right, look, George W. Bush. If we're going to blame George W. Bush for everything, fine. But it's getting old.
At some point in time, Ron, you have to take responsibility. But we're talking about context. We're not talking about just responsibility. If George W. Bush is responsible for why the economy is the way it is, we ought to lay it at his feet. When President Obama took office in 2009, we were losing 750,000 jobs per month before President Obama had an opportunity to have his policies kicked in.
And two years before that, when we had the election for Congress and Senate, the off-year election, that is when Bernie Sanders got control of the checkbook and destroyed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And I put the housing problem, which is squarely at the middle of this entire mess that we have, squarely at the feet of the Democratic Party. George Bush's biggest problem was he was weak. He wouldn't stand up to Bernie Sanders and the spending and giving everybody this housing money. This is the main problem that we have in this country is the housing. And I lay it directly and squarely at the feet of the Democratic Party.
I don't blame
President Obama for that much. I blame his ineffectual administration from Eric Holder to you can go on and name practically and from Eric Holder you can go on to Susan Rice. This is an ineffectual administration.
This administration is what is so bad.
And that's what has to be voted out.
Well, first of all, it's not going to be voted out, and I believe that President Obama will be successful in November. But secondly, I absolutely refuse to allow this country, with whatever impact I have, to allow this country to go back to the policies that George W. Bush had implemented to get us into this ditch in the first place.
The biggest...
Again, again, we were facing a crisis, heading over the cliff. Now, Republicans,
and we still are.
Republicans like to say that, you know, unemployment for the 29 months have is hovering over 8%. That's understandable. I understand that argument.
But Obama said that it would not go.
It wasn't
over
Obama.
7.
It wasn't Obama. It was a supporter. It wasn't President Obama who came out and suggested
again,
that.
Again, his administration.
Okay, no, it was a supporter. But let's just move on from that. The point that I'm trying to make is that we have seen 43, now 44 months of job growth in this country. We are talking about literally losing 750,000 jobs per month for the first 6 months of his presidency. And when his policies began to kick in, we saw the stock market from a negative 6,000 to now over 13,000. Let me finish my point.
Okay,
directly attributable to an atmosphere that allowed the stock market to rebound. Secondly, we're talking about 4.3, 4.4 million private sector jobs have been created since Obama's policies had taken effect. So we're talking about a huge turnaround. We're talking about our military men being able to come home. We're talking about some success in this economy and success in terms of our government and the policies that have been taking place.
For the average person on the street, Ron, okay, when you are getting 1.5 and 1% on your investments, what is the one hedge that everyone has against inflation? The precursor to inflation in this country has been, and if you go back from 1929 on, the absolute precursor is if the Dow Jones averages climbs more than 3% a year. When it goes more than that, it is showing you that your dollar is shrinking incredibly. That's exactly what has happened. People that have had a couple bucks, they can't put it anywhere else. So they put it in the stock market because that they're hoping that's going to keep up with the inflationary rate. The other thing is to create these jobs, he has spent so much money that the value of the job is practically.
So what do you propose? That these folks stay on unemployment?
This is what I propose. Is the first thing we have to do is we have to put together a budget. We have to bring both sides together. Someone has to be the adult in the room, Ron.
Well, the adult.
President
Obama.
Do you believe we need a budget?
There's no question.
Wait, my turn.
You cannot have a Congress who wants to obstruct absolutely everything. When President Obama took office, the very first thing Mitch McConnell said was that they were going to derail this man's presidency. So there's no wonder that nothing can get done when you have a Congress this way.
Whenever you spend money in Congress, whenever there is a bill to spend money, all right, they say, well, you're spending this or we're spending this much more. Both ways we're spending money. As Jerry Garcia said, when you're picking the lesser of two evils, you're still picking evil. The Congress of the United States realizes they don't have the money. We cannot continuously pull out the checkbook. We don't have a credit card to cover this stuff.
Well, one of the ways...
It's getting ridiculous.
I can't let you hog the show. But listen. One of the ways that we can balance our budget or at least begin the process of raising funds is to, as President Obama had indicated over the course of 2 years, is to make sure that those who are earning over $1 million a year began to pay their fair share in taxes. That is how we're going to begin raising revenues. Yes, we have to make significant reductions in our cost. But at the same time, you cannot forget the fact that those who are making over $1 million a year has been able to literally skirt their way through the tax system to avoid paying their fair share of taxes in this country.
Let me ask you a question, Ron. What is fair to take from someone in taxes? No, I want an amount. If you make let's say you make $5 million a year. You're a professional baseball player. You make $5 million a year. You how much is fair for the government literally to steal from you?
Well, I don't consider paying taxes stealing, but what I will suggest to you...
How much is fair?
What I will suggest to you is that those folks who are earning $1 million a year, we should go back to the tax rates that were under Bill Clinton. And those tax rates were 39%. And at the time that those tax rates were 39%, Henry, we're talking about 23 million jobs created. When George Bush implemented those tax cuts for the wealthy in 2000, he lowered that tax rate to 36%, and we lost literally 4 million jobs. So the tax rate and the tax burden in terms of 39% is a fair share, particularly given the income that there's.
39% is fair.
Yeah, it's fair.
So that means that you're going to put in the same tax breaks that you had at that time. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
No, let me answer.
You're going to ask me a question.
Right.
Let me answer.
So we should have the same tax breaks that we had then. So throw out Dodd-Frank.
What I'm saying to you, Henry.
And allow the tax breaks.
What I'm saying to you, Henry, and we only got just a couple of minutes left in the show because it went so quick and we didn't get a chance to get to anything. What I'm saying to you, Henry, is that the 39% tax rate that was under Bill Clinton, it was a much fairer system so that those individuals can help with the economy. We're talking about everybody feeling some pain here.
Okay.
And what the Republicans have been arguing against is taking that tax rate from 35% back to 39%, which everyone in this country, particularly the middle class, think is fair.
2 points I want to make. One, do you know who Arthur Laffer is?
No.
Arthur Laffer was the head of Ronald Reagan's
economy
team.
Yes, I remember.
Arthur Laffer has stated many times, when Bill Clinton left the White House, he was more into free market than Ronald Reagan. That's a fact. Bush the Second's problem is that he cut the money, but then instead of cutting the money and saving the money, he went liberal and spent the money.
He didn't go liberal. He went Republican.
No, no.
And then we get into fighting two wars that weren't paid for.
When you get into bed with Kennedy, you're going liberal, baby. Okay? All right? When you go to Kennedy and you say, whatever you want, dude, whatever you want, you're going liberal.
Well, we know now, Henry, when we're about to close out, we know now that trickle-down economics is simply not working. We understand now that Yes, I do understand.
Oh, no, you
we
don't.
Have seen trickle down economics in effect for the last 15 years, and it has
trickle-down
not
economics
worked.
Started
it
in 1776.
Well, we're talking about
from 1776 to 1976. Trickle down economics ran this country.
You're telling me that after 200 years,
we have a different answer.
The trickle down economic policies that have been embraced by the Republican Party, George W. Bush, and Mitt Romney is the trickle-down economic policies that has hurt this country. And now we're trying to rebound. And as I said to you before during one other previous debate, it literally is like a huge cruise ship in the middle of the ocean. You can't turn that cruise ship around on a dime. It is going to take some time. And the reason why the polls suggest to me that President Obama is going to win the election, that he's up in every single poll that has come out since last week. The reason it suggests to me that he's going to win, because the American people are not dumb and stupid as the Republican Party tried to believe.
According to Rasmussen, Romney has had a lead of 2 percentage points on likely voters for the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely
secondly,
not. Every
daily tracking poll, look it up.
Every daily tracking poll.
When you talk about the cruise ship turning around, you're right. And I honestly believe in one moment in time, President Obama and a guy by the name of Captain Smith decided that they were going to have the same theory. Captain Smith was the guy that was the head of the Titanic. The two of them got together and decided, well, how can I screw this thing up? I can't sink the thing. Everybody tells me so. No, Ron... There is a real problem here. Trickle-down economics, if it is worked correctly,
It hasn't worked correctly, particularly in the last 10 years. And we are reeling from that economic policy today. We got to close out here.
Okay, but we just can't spend the money we're spending, Ron.
Well,
we just don't have the money.
At this point, we are required to make the kinds of investments that will allow us to come out of this conundrum. And if we don't, if we continue to suggest that we are going to balance the budget on the backs of the poor and allow the rich to get away with not paying their fair share of taxes and skirting the tax system with all kinds of loopholes, that is simply not fair to anybody.
Why are we sending a $2,200 check a month to Bill Gates?
Again, the point is, that is something that we all have to...
Why are we sending money to the Oracle of Omaha? This is the most ridiculous idea I've ever seen.
But that's the point. We need to have a serious conversation about our tax policies and how it negatively impacts those of us who are just trying to make it
this
society.
You're right. And what will make the difference is the budget. We have got to have a budget, because that's going to give everybody a chance to sit down and figure this thing out.
Okay, we have to close out, but with an obstructionist Congress, we'll never get to the point where we can seriously talk about a budget. Henry, thank you so much for joining me this morning here on Praise 100.9. We'll be back in a moment.
Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I want to again thank my friend Henry Hollingshead for his staunch defense of his conservative perspective and his views of the upcoming election. We're going to definitely have him back again in the upcoming weeks. I know this morning's debate was a bit unusual for the Praise 100.9 and 92.7 FM audience, but it's important for you to hear both sides of the issues at the heart of these political campaigns. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.